goes through the story of the Lord Jesus, the life of the Lord Jesus. Do you see? It's a song. It would be one that perhaps Deborah sang. Now, as I say, when I read this chapter, I thought, well, good gracious me, Jeff. What do you expect? And then he gave me the title as well. So I thought, I've got to get my thoughts around this and my mind around it. And I was just thinking about what it's like to sing unto the Lord. You know, it's an important thing in our lives to sing unto the Lord. Now, Deborah was a singer and a songwriter. And she expressed herself in song. You know, in her experience came in song right from the bottom of her heart. Do you know what I mean? It just came up through her. Now, remember, in those days when Deborah lived, there was no recording devices. Hardly anyone could write. There wasn't much in the way of writing materials. And you know, there were two kinds of people in those days. There were storytellers and listeners. And the way stories were handed down was by a professional storyteller. And he would tell the story exactly how something happened. And they would listen to this story. And then someone else would pick up and be a storyteller. But they wouldn't add to the story. They would pass it on and they would tell the story exactly as how they heard it. So, you know, nowadays it's a bit like Chinese whispers. We start off a story and before long it's got to such an enormous thing that it's very little to how it started off. But in these days, they were professional storytellers who would keep to the story. And this is how it happened in this day. In the way that stories would be carried on would be when someone put together a song. Now, you find this in the Bible. You know, Moses, he sang a song about when they came out of Egypt. And when they went through the wilderness and across the Red Sea. And if you read his song, it's got lots and lots of details in it. And it is the same with Deborah, when she done this song. There's lots and lots of detail in this song, which we'll look at in a minute, and you will understand what I'm talking about. Well, I hope you do, anyhow. But then there was, do you remember Hannah, who had Samuel? And, you know, she couldn't have any children. And all of a sudden, she found out she was pregnant. And she had Samuel. And she wrote a song. And she sang about it. David sang a new song. When he came back and defeated the Philistines, he came back and he sang this new song. Mary and Elizabeth in the New Testament, when they were together, they sang a new song. And then Mary sang that beautiful song, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, who is regarded," and on, you know. And this is how the stories were remembered in song. And the children of Israel, when they went into battle, they went in with the singers and the musicians going first. And they would be singing, praising God and playing music. Like we, and thank goodness we do it, put bagpipes in front of the army very often. And they play the bagpipes to frighten the enemy away. I've always said, Carolyn, if you ever have bagpipes at my funeral, I'll come back and haunt you. But you know, that sort of thing, you know, to encourage people to go on. And you know, we should be singing every day in our lives. At the kitchen sink. In the home. When we go out. In our hearts, there should be a song to the Lord. We should be singing of his goodness, his mercy, his love, his faithfulness, his patience. That's how we should be singing as Christians, you know. It should be coming out of us. Of course, sometimes, you know, as Christians, we sing out of tune, don't we? And sometimes, instead of being a blessing, we are a bit discouraging. But, you know, it's something important that we have a good song. Lord, make my life a melody. You know, so that our witness is good. It's an effective way of expressing, you know, how we feel. I don't know if you ever had this. Let me give you a little illustration. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I seem to have these experiences. You know, I'm doing something in the garage. Perhaps I'm doing something to the car. Or doing some little mechanical job. And, you know, I can't get it just right. Have you ever had that experience? You know, the wire won't go through and connect up with the other wire, and don't matter what you do, it's so frustrating, isn't it? You know, just that little job, or you're doing a little job in the house, and sometimes I get so desperate, I say, Lord, will you help me? And then, strangely enough, it goes together. You know, and then, or perhaps, you know, I lose things. We lose things in our house. Things move around by themselves. I don't know why, but they do. I don't know if you have this problem in your home, but I put things down and they're never there when I go back. And I spend ages sometimes looking for something.
It's a man thing.
Is it? Right, well there you are. And I spend time looking for something, and then in my sheer desperation, I often say, I don't know if you do, Lord, where is it? Can you help me? And then I find it. Now, what happens in those moments? You know, for me, I just say, thank you, Lord. Do you know what I mean? It comes from right deep in, thank you, Lord, you know? And this is how Deborah felt. When she came back, they had won the battle. And she came back and she said, thank you, Lord. You know, we've won the battle. And she went right through the battle. And what happened? She was so thrilled. And this is how our lives should be. This is how our lives should be. James says he goes to a church. And I'm not telling you the church, in case you go. And we were just talking. And he just said to me, yeah, there's a lovely elder there. But I only wish his face would tell what he believes. You know? And this is it. You know, our hearts and our lives should be excited. Because we have a wonderful, wonderful message. We have a wonderful God, don't we, which we worship and adore and love. So, anyhow, let me give you some points. Why should we sing, okay? Who enjoys singing at home? You know, when you're around the house, do you? You know? When I was on the campsite, I often sing, you know? And I'm in the showers at the campsite. And we were in France and on this campsite, and I was just not really knowing it. You know, I was just walking around singing a song to myself and all that. And a lady came up to me and she said, she was English, she was French, and she said, Monsieur, you're always singing. You're always singing. And I said, well, yeah. I said, but I didn't realize this. She said, good. So that was it. That was my singing, and I can't sing anyhow. Number one, why should we sing, okay? Well, when you sing, you are obeying God, okay? Just simple. These are only simple headings. Singing isn't an option. It's a command. Now listen to what it says in Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, it's a command. The Lord wants us to do it with thankful hearts to God. You see how important it is? It's part of our spiritual makeup. You know, we're obeying God when we're singing, because we're expressing our, our emotions, our feelings. You know, you don't have to have a good voice to sing. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Very simple, that, isn't it? But you're obeying the Lord when you sing. Here's number two. When you sing, the word of God becomes real. That's incredible, you know. The word of God becomes real. Have you ever been with an elderly person who's been confused and they've come to the end of their lives and they sing a hymn or something, or you sing a hymn with them and they'll join in and they'll know every word? Yeah? Carolyn had an old auntie who came and lived with us, Auntie Alice, and she was bedridden and how heavy was it? Three stone seven when she died. Little lady, the doctor, the consultant, we took her to the consultant because we were worried about her weight, and he said he's never ever seen such a small frame of a person before. But you know, Auntie Alice knew all the hymns and all the songs and all the scriptures off by heart when she was dying, and she would just lay in bed and she would go through that one. I'd even hear the sun was set and sickle round the Lord way, you know, and that one, she would go through that one. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you, you know. And she'd go all these songs and she had wonderful peace. And you know, someone said of her life, there was an aroma about her life. Do you know what I mean? An aroma about her life. And I was talking to some of the girls at work when I was on the ward many years ago, and I was telling them about Auntie Alice and all that. And I said, you know, there's an aroma about her life. And the girl said, what do you mean? Does she smell nice? I said, well, yeah, but I said, you know, her life smelled something beautiful. You know? Because God becomes very real when we sing. And that's important to us. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And then he says, you know, sing. Sing about it. Right. Another point, okay? When you sing, you build others up. And you build yourself up. You know, addressing. This is how one of the, it says in Ephesians, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing to each other. It's wonderful, you know? This is when we come here on the Sunday morning. We sing hymns. We sing together. We're singing at one another. Encouraging one another and to and build each other up. You know, I often listen to Christian tapes. I did before I came out this morning. I put on YouTube and I love going through all the songs and all that. But they build me up. You know, when we went down through lockdown, and I think I told you, I used to listen to that lovely one, No, Never Alone. He's promised never to leave me. You know, I used to listen, and it used to build me up for the day. And I would suggest to you, friends, that you listen to good spiritual songs to build you up and to help you in your Christian life. And listening to spiritual songs with others, you know, you build them up. So when you sing, you build yourself and others up in the Christian life. Right, another one. I've got seven, so you can keep count if you want, then you know we're getting near the end. When you sing, you make war and you are spiritually strengthened for a trial. Okay? The devil doesn't like to hear us singing. Oh no. But when we sing, you know, we're strengthened. Do you remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? What did they do? They sang. Yeah? They didn't stay there, sit there and bemoan the situation that they were in. They just sang. They sang. Spiritual songs. And you know, and Satan was defeated. I read this past week, actually, and I included it in because I thought it was so important. It was a pastor who had recently been imprisoned for his faith. And this is what he says. When we were in prison, we sang almost every day because Christ was alive in us. They put chains on our hands and our feet. They chained us to add to our grief. Yet we discovered that chains are splendid musical instruments. When we clanked them together in rhythm, we could sing. This is the day, clink, clank. This is the day, clink, clank, which the Lord has made, clink, clank, which the Lord has made, clink, clank. Do you see? They used the chains that were holding them to strengthen them in song. And you know, when we sing, you'll find that it will strengthen you spiritually, and also it will preserve you and keep you in the phases of trial. So don't stop singing, friends. You may not feel like it. You may not feel like listening to spiritual music. You listen. It will strengthen you. When you sing spiritual songs, you walk a God-designed pathway to joy. Now, you want a verse of scripture for that? It says in James, you can look it up yourself if you like, James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone cheerful? This is what James asks. Let him sing praise. Okay? Let him sing praise. If you're cheerful, you're walking God's pathway. Sing praise. Right, number 6. When you sing, you glorify God. And this is what Deb's song was all about. Praise God. Praise God for giving us the victory. No, they didn't think they were going to have the victory, because they were up against 900 chariots. Iron chariots. You know, it's like these times when you hear about, you know, in Ukraine, they're up against these many, many, many Russian tanks. You know, and you think, there's not a chance. But God gave them the victory. And Deborah was singing about this. You know, singing has such a unique way of bringing your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength together to focus entirely and completely on God. You know, in an age of distraction, singing grabs the attention of all our senses and focuses us on God. Do you see how important? It will glorify God in your life. And finally, and I thought I ought to put this one in because, oh, just before I go on to the last point, there is one more point I want to just bring to you. Focusing on God. You know, John, in the book of Revelation, he had a glimpse of eternity, didn't he? If you read the book of Revelation, you find that he had an insight into eternity. And it says there that as he looked into eternity, he saw a multitude of people from every tribe, people and language. What were they doing? Singing unto the Lord. You know, and that's what we'll be doing in eternity. Singing praises unto the Lord. Now finally, when you sing, you become more sensitive and in touch with other people. Now, that's why I read the last part of that chapter 5. Because it comes out very much in there As Deborah was praising God for the victory and that the enemy's general, Sisera, had been killed and by a woman, and as she was praising God for all this, all of a sudden, a mine went back to Sisera's mother. And she said, she will be sat at home, wondering when her son will come back. You know, she had that sense of it. And she couldn't understand why he was not coming back, because she thought that he would have been the victor. And she was expected him to walk in with all these wonderful things and all these wonderful gifts for her. And he didn't come home. And the poor mother of Sisera suffered because of that war. You know, I read some books, and I enjoy books by a man called Ken Follett. I don't know if anybody's ever read any of his books. They're a bit in some places, but you jump over those bits. I read one of his books, and he was telling a story about in the Welsh Valleys in the First World War, and the little mining communities. And when all the men went off the war, you know, all the young men at the age of certain, they all joined up, and they went into what they called buddy companies. So all the young men from that village would go off and stay together in a buddy company and go off to war, okay? But the only problem was that when they went into the battle, and 75% of them, 80% of them were killed, it meant that all the young people in that village were wiped out, okay? You see that? Yeah. And he tells this story of how this village did that. And it was at the time of the Somme. And all the boys in the village were wiped out, killed. And then he talks about the postman came to that village. And he went to door with a telegram saying, your son is missing in action. And he said, from the village you could hear the wail go up of mothers because their sons weren't coming home. Incredible, isn't it, when you think of it? We forget about all this. And you know, Deborah, she thought about this when she thought about Sisera's mother, how she must have felt. You know, what about all the mothers of the Russian soldiers that have been sent into Ukraine that will be killed? You know? We forget things like this. But you know, when we sing a new song unto the Lord, we become sensitive. And we are touched by other people. And so, my friends, as I come to an end this morning, there was peace in the land, eh? And that's what we want to know. But my encouragement to you this morning is, friends, don't matter what situation you find yourself in this coming week, we don't know, do we? We live day by day, hour by hour. Whatever situation, whether we have a difficult week or an easy week, keep a song in your heart, okay? Keep a song to Jesus. It's a good testimony. It's a good witness. I love the old songs that we sing, you know, that speak of our testimony. You know, the old ones like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is, this is my story, this is my song, you know. We should sing another one. Dear Saviour, thou art mine. Mine, mine, mine. It's my song. It's my witness. It's my, and that's what I need to be showing forth this week. And I just pray that God will bless each one of you. So, we're going to sing a song to finish with. And it's we're singing all of it, Jeff. It's only three verses.
I didn't make it forever.
No. I will sing... no, it's not. It's not that one. It's... I will sing the wonder story. Yeah. This is a testimony, you know. This is your testimony. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, you should be singing this. Yeah. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.